holds the story of Jesus. The greatest friend you ever know is the one that the story is about. A man named Jesus. The greatest peace you ever have is having him in your heart. That man named Jesus. Turn in your Bibles tonight with us in the Philippians chapter number 3. I'm so thankful for the service this morning. Good to see a full house, but there was just great liberty to preach this morning. And I tell you what, it was just a great, great liberty to preach, and we're just so thankful for that, and thankful that God provides a means and a way for us to accomplish. I wasn't sure. I was torn again this morning between two different messages, and I know God's got a plan, and I just wasn't sure if the other one was right, but I think it was the right message for the morning. And I knew it was after we started preaching it. I'm just thankful that God gives us that direction and that guidance. But if you found Philippians chapter 3, we're going to begin reading in verse number 17. The Bible says, "Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? Amen. Brother Bryson, would you fill this up for me? Thank you. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the Philippian church, he's writing, we know, from prison and trying to encourage them and to help them. But he's reminding them of some things that they need to be mindful of in these last few verses that we've read. He said, "Look, I've done sacrificed everything. I've done given it all up." Why did he give it all up? Because Jesus is worth forsaking everything for. Jesus is worth giving it all up for. He says a lot of people have things that they brag about. He said, "I've got more than they do." He said, "I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Paul said, "I had it all." He said, "I had the pedigree. He had a title. He had a reputation. He had the backing of the high priest and the backing of the establishment. But Paul was willing to give it all up for the cause of Christ." Sometimes we can't give up a bad habit. Amen? Sometimes we have trouble giving up a bad attitude or things that we know that are contrary to Christ. Paul said he had to give it all up, and he suffered much persecution for it. But he said it, in the long run, he said, "I count it all but dung." In other words, it meant nothing. It was useless to him. Why? Because Christ was more important. Christ had a greater zeal. "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Paul wanted his life to be a reflection of what Christ would have it to be. And if that meant giving up everything that he was attached to, everything that he held precious, everything that he was enamored by, he was willing to do it that he might win Christ. For Christ was more important, that Christ was more eminent in his life. He said, I haven't attained all that I'm going to attain. In verse 13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I haven't got to experience it all yet. I haven't laid hold on it all yet. He said, but I'm willing to let everything go that I might attain unto it, that I might grasp it one day. And in verse number 17, he begins to commend the Philippian church. He begins to encourage them to do likewise. He said, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul says we have a cause that we must stand for. A cause that we must be willing to forsake everything for. He says, I want you to follow me. Do what I do. You know, a fellow told me a long time ago, he said, you want to be successful in life. He said, you look at successful people and you do what successful people do. Isn't that the truth? You want to get ahead, you look at people that get ahead. And you try to do the things that they do. And you follow their example. And you follow the things that they tell you and the things that they share with you to help you to get ahead. You want to be a loser? Do the things that losers do. It's easy to be a loser. Amen? You just don't have to do a whole lot to be a loser. But if you want to obtain something, if you want to attain, not obtain, but if you want to attain something, look at those who are striving, those who are attaining and are obtaining things. And I'm not talking just about money and things. I'm talking about peace. You look at people that have great peace in their life. Strive to find out why they have this great peace in their life. Most people that have great peace in their life are at peace with everything else in their life because they have made peace with Jesus. Amen. Look at people who are content, and you want to find contentment in life. Look at those who have learned contentment. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I find myself therein to be content. Amen. Amen. You want to find contentment, find out what brings contentment into people's lives. Amen. Amen. You want to be content, follow those who are content, and you'll find out that most people who are content know Jesus as their personal Savior. They have that peace in their heart. So Paul is telling the Philippians, said, you know, follow me. Follow me. Not that I'm anything, not that you're following me because of me, but follow me because of who I'm following. Amen. Amen. Don't follow me because you're following Paul. Follow Paul because he's following Jesus. Amen. Amen. We have an obligation, a cause that's before us. You know, David came unto the camp of the Israelites as they were facing the Philistines and in battle, and his oldest brother derided him and chided him for being there and accused him falsely for the reason that he was there, and David was listening to what was going on and why everyone was afraid and everyone was hiding and cowering away from the Philistines. And when his brother began to chide him, David said, is there not a cause? Friends, I want you to know something today. There's still a cause. Amen. There's still a cause. People are dying. Our families are dying. Our families are growing cold and indifferent. Our families are being led away by false teaching and false doctrine. There is a cause today for which we must stand. And praise God, it's going to be a hard stand sometimes. But we need to stand. We need to be examples to a lost and a dying world. Paul said, look, he said, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Amen. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells the Corinthian church, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinance as I have delivered them to you. Paul says, don't follow me because of me. Follow me because I'm following Christ. I'm following Christ because I want the world to see that there is a better way. I want the world to know that there's something worth forsaking everything for, worth giving everything up for, worth letting it all go for. There's something worthy in this universe that's willing to give everything that you have for that cause. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Paul says, follow me because I'm following Christ. Amen. We have a cause that has been laid out before us. And until Jesus comes and raptures his church out, we have an obligation in this world to follow Jesus and to let the world see Jesus in us and let the world see Jesus in the things that we do, the things that we say, the places that we go, the people that we hang out with. It don't mean that we can't hang. You're never going to win sinners if you don't hang around sinners. But you don't do what sinners do. You do what godly people do. Paul says, follow me and those that walk like me. Folks, we have a cause that is set before us. A cause that we have an obligation to. Amen. And until Jesus takes us home or comes and gets his church, we need to practice being the example to a lost and a dying world. We need to be the example to the new Christians. Amen. As they're discipled and as they come to understand what it is to be a Christian, what it is to be a Christ follower. Amen. That we don't take them down some rabbit trail. We keep them on that straight and narrow trail. Amen. We keep Christ before our eyes. And if we keep Christ before our eyes, it'll keep Christ in their eyes. Because they'll look beyond us. And they'll look at who we're following. Amen. When you look at people, and some people follow preachers. Preacher moves from church to church. There's people that'll follow a man from church to church. That's wrong. Amen. That there's people that follow preachers because they're preacher groupies, that, or if there's a singing group, they'll follow a singing group everywhere around. They'll leave their church to go follow a singing group wherever they go every Sunday. You don't need to be following a singing group because you like a singing group. You need to be following Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that there's a lot of singing groups that are following Jesus. Amen. But the Bible tells us to do it in our church. Amen. We need to be in our church. We need to be under our pastor's guidance and direction. We need to be where the Lord wants us to be, doing what the Lord wants us to do. Paul said, you know, if there's a danger in not doing so, in verses 18 and 19, he says, there's a lot that aren't walking right. There's a lot that aren't doing right. There's a lot that are not focusing right. He said, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Look, it breaks Paul's heart, and it breaks my heart to look around and see a lot of the things, a lot of churches that once stood strong, a lot of churches that were bastions of fundamentalism. And I'm not talking about a fundamentalism in the sense of these churches where pastors want to be dictators and want to do this and want to do that and have all the rules. I'm talking about fundamentals, and they stand upon the fundamentals of the faith, unwavering. Amen. The inerrancy of the Word of God. There's churches today that'll tell you there's issues in the Bible, that there's conflicts and there's things that aren't right. I don't know about you, but my Bible's perfect. Amen. Amen. My Bible has no error. Amen. My Bible makes no mistakes. Paul said, there's some who don't walk right, some who aren't doing right, and it breaks his heart. Churches that were once great churches of fundamentalism, the blood, the book, and the blessed hope, amen, where their anthem have changed up to become nightclubs. You might as well call them at Christian nightclubs, because that's all they are. So They use the name of Christian to draw people to their nightclub. Amen. Fellow was telling me that has a business, and said a fellow that comes to his business was telling him about going. He's been witnessing to the guy, trying to get the guy to go to church, inviting him to the church where he pastors. And well, Brother Chris, Calvin's brother, said he invited this guy and invited this guy. And I said, I don't need to go. He said, I went down to this church with my daughter, one of these Christian nightclubs. And he said, and they were sitting there drinking their drinks, talking about where they were going to go, what bar they were going to, when they left church that day to get together and have some drinks in the afternoon. And they wonder why people don't want what we have. Why do they want what we have if what we have is just a little bit different? It's the same thing as what the world has. It's just under a different flavor, a different banner. Amen. I tell you what I have Jesus. Amen. You have, take the whole world and give me Jesus. Amen. Take everything this world has and give me Jesus. It breaks my heart to see it happen. It was breaking Paul's heart. He was weeping. He said, they're enemies of Christ. If you're not preaching Christ and Him crucified for the sins of the world, dead, buried, and risen again, and soon coming King, if you're not preaching that, you're an enemy of the cross. Amen. If you're preaching humanism, if you're preaching anything save Christ and Him crucified, you're an enemy of the cross. If you're preaching some way to heaven by good works or by some religious ceremony or some denominational thing, you're an enemy of Christ. Amen. Because unless you're preaching Christ and Him the only way, Christ the preeminent one of the Bible, Christ the everything that we have in this old book, unless you're preaching Christ and Him alone and Him the only way and Him our only purpose, Him our only cause, Him the only reason that we meet together, Him our all in all, Him lifted up, Him drawing, Him working, Him saving, Him changing, Him sanctifying, Him justifying, Him glorifying. Unless you're preaching that it's all about Jesus, you're an enemy of Christ. Amen. Amen. Paul wept over it, and we ought to weep over it too. There's a cause, and we need to be the examples. Because there's so much false doctrine in this world. He said they're enemies of Christ. He said they're bound for destruction. Their gods, their belly. That the only thing they're worried about is self. You get these preachers that preach and want you to send them money and send them money. One thing I can say, I don't care if they're on TV. I don't care if they're coming to my church. If they're trying to sell the gospel, I don't have no use for it. Amen. Amen. I understand trying to recoup your costs for, you know, printing a book or something like that. I have no problem with that. You know, cost you to put it out there. Mm-hmm. But people that want you to pay $15, somebody, I was reading somewhere here just this past week, I think it was, somebody was talking about preachers somewhere wanting people, if you wanted to click online and hear their sermons, you had to give them $15 to listen to their sermon. I wouldn't give you 25 cents. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. If I had to pay to hear you preach, I don't want to hear you. Amen. Amen. If you're in it for the money, if you're in it to satisfy your belly, you're an enemy of Christ. I'm a firm believer that the gospel should be free. Amen. We send our CDs out. We send them for free. If you've got people you want to send CDs to, you let us know. We'll send them to them. We'll send them for free. I like the Facebook live deal that we've been doing, and we've got people listening from, I just told, we've got somebody in Tennessee listening. I know Penny said today that she's been listening, she's been following our services. People are following our services, and I'm thankful for it. I don't care what it costs us to broadcast it. Somebody somewhere is going to hear the gospel, amen, and maybe somebody's going to say, we might not ever know it on this side of eternity. Amen. It's just like handing out a gospel tract. We'll buy gospel tracts and hand them out. Amen. I want the gospel to be free. Amen. It's not for sale. Remember, old Ahaz told Naboth, he said, sell me your vineyard. Naboth said, I can't sell that vineyard. He said, that's my inheritance. That's what God, that's the portion that God allotted unto me and my family. He said, sell it to me and I'll give you a better one. There's nothing better than what God has. There's nothing better than what Jesus gave. Amen. Jesus gave his only begotten son. It don't get any better than that. You can't sell me anything any better than that. And praise God, if you want to sell me something, I want you to know something. I'm not buying it. And if you want to buy what I have, I want you to know something. I'm not selling it, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not for sale. Amen. He said this false doctrine is going to be their destruction. The problem is those that follow them are going to follow suit. Amen. There's a cause. But then look down in verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Until Jesus comes, there's a cause. Until then. How many ever heard Charles Johnson and the Revivers? Amen. Man, we've heard him several times, been in several services. If you ever was in a service with Charles Johnson and Revivers, man, them old boys would get to singing, and pretty soon they'd get everybody. Everybody would be on their feet. Everybody would just be worshiping. But they used to sing that song, But Until Then. But until then. Until then, I'm going to keep on serving. Until then, I'm going to keep on looking. Until then, I'm going to keep on being what he wants me to be. Until then, I'm going to keep hoping in him. See, until then, we have a cause to stand for. Until then, we have a conversation. Listen to this. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this word conversation here doesn't mean just our talking. If you've been in my adult Sunday school class, you'll understand this, because we've talked about this quite often. I may even mention it in preaching, but I'll remind you again. When it says conversation here, it's not talking just about our language, just what we're speaking and what we're saying. It's talking about our life. Everything that we communicate is our conversation. Amen? You ever see those people that don't have the poker face? They can't hide their feelings and their emotions. And you say something and, you know, their face says it all. Amen? Their face, that they have communicated something to you. Sometimes our body language. You ever see anybody that they get mad and they're just standing there and they just clench their fist up. Maybe they don't rear back and swing, but you see them and they've clenched their fist. They've communicated something. They didn't have to say a word. Amen. I used to tell Deb, don't look at me in that tone of voice. Amen. I'd say something or do something and she'd look at me and don't look at me in that tone of voice. Amen. We communicate. Our conversation is in heaven. What's Paul saying? He said, our lives should be a reflection of heavenly things and not carnal. Man, I fail in this big time. Amen. Sometimes I can't keep my mouth shut. Sometimes I can't hide my dismay or my emotions. Sometimes I can't hide my disdain. But Paul said, our conversation, the things that we are showing the world, need to be of a heavenly nature. How can they be of a heavenly nature when we're in a carnal body? Well, in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We got to strive for it. He said, seek those things which are above. We got to desire it. We got to search it out. We got to seek it. He said, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. We got to change our way of thinking. We got to change our desires. Amen. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm still alive, but I'm dead. Ah, have we crucified the flesh? Have we taken care of the old man and put the old man in his place? Got the old man where he belongs? Kept the old man where he needs to be that Christ might shine forth? He said, our life is hid with Christ. What's Christian mean? Christ-like. Amen. Is your life a reflection of Christ, or is it a reflection of you? Is it a reflection of what Christ would have you to be, or is it a reflection of what you want to be? It's a work that we must work on. Paul dealt with that. Paul struggled with that. And Paul knew that we needed to understand that none of us were immune from it. And we had to fight with the flesh. And the flesh is a constant fight. And the flesh is a constant battle. But we need to try to guard our conversation. In other words, guard our life. That our life might emulate what Christ would have it to be. That our life might be hid in Christ. And our life might be revealed in Christ. And our life might say what Christ wants it to be. It's not what we say, it's what we do. It's how we react. It's how we treat people. How do we do when we're trying to be Christ-like? Are we letting Christ have the preeminence? Or are we trying to puff it up and just, you ever heard the saying, you can paint a pig, but it's still a pig? Amen? You can clean it up and paint it up and pretty it up, but it's still a pig. Amen? And unless we're letting Christ be real, and letting Christ shine through. You know, a lot of times you can look at a painted pig and you know it's a painted pig. Y'all ain't picking up what I'm saying, are you? You go to an old house, it's ready to fall down and they've slapped some paint on it and they've tried to make it look like it's something that it's not. You buy it and it's all filled with mold behind the walls, but the paint covered it up. It's got rot, and it's ready to blow over. But you didn't see that because you've seen the paint. But somebody with a trained eye, or somebody that isn't getting all wrapped up in it, stands back and looks at it and can say, man, that's just a painted pig. They see it for what it is. You buy an automobile, you can buy a painted pig. Amen. Young people, young men, young ladies, listen to me. You're looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You're looking down the road for... When you're looking at a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you need to be focusing on, is this where God wants me to go? Is this the individual that God would have me to have? Is this someone that God would want me to spend my life with? And you got to be careful because sometimes you can get a painted pig. It happens. It happens. I've seen young men come to church and they come to church and they cry, oh, Jesus, how good Jesus were. And as soon as they got what they wanted, you didn't see him no more. I had one tell me one time he didn't want to hear any more of that Baptist blankety blank blank. You see, you can get a painted pig. And if you're not careful and you don't live for Christ, and don't submit yourself to Christ and don't hide yourself in Christ, you can try to paint it up. But eventually somebody's going to see it for what it is. A painted pig. Amen. You know, hypocrites have done more to damage the cause of Christ than the worldly crowd can do. Why? Because of a bunch of painted pigs. Everybody thought there was something there that wasn't there. We've got to be careful of the life that we live, that we let it emulate Christ in every manner of what we do. But then, look, in verse number 20, it said, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself?" We have a cause until he comes to live for Christ. We have a life, a conversation that must be lived before the world until he comes, until he calls us away. But praise God, one day he's going to come, and one day there's going to be a change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the church is going to be called out. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "Then this immortal will put on immortality." Amen. This corruption shall put on incorruption. Amen. We're going to be changed one day, and we're going to be made just like him. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Praise God. I'm glad one day there's going to be a change. I'm glad one day I'm going to be just like him. I'm glad one day I'm not going to be tempted and tried by the sin that I deal with and I wrestle with in my flesh. This battle that rages and this storm that's going on in my life is going to be no more. Why? Because I'm going to be just like him. I'm going to be sinless for all of eternity. Sin is no longer going to have dominion. Why? Because he's able to subdue all things, and he's going to subdue me. Amen. Amen. But John says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he's pure." But until then, until that change comes, amen, I'm a work in progress. But I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday. I'm going to glow and glow till I'm so pure, blue, pure, and perfect. I'm going to put a smile on everybody's face. Amen. Y'all know that song. Amen. He's still working on me. Amen. And as long as he's working on me, amen, I need to be working on me too. "Every man that hath this hope within him purifieth himself even as he's pure." It's my responsibility to strive to be as much like him as I can before he comes. Amen. There's a work that's going on, but there's a change that's a coming. There's a work that's in progress, but there's a change that's a coming. And I need to keep working. I need to keep striving until the change comes. The Apostle Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 9, "But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." We have a cause to maintain a witness, a cause to live a life that lets our friends and our loved ones see Christ in us and to live before them. A conversation, the life that we live, the things that we say, the things that we do, everything about our life should be a reflection of Christ and being hid in Christ. And we should live like we're expecting that change to come any day, because it could come tonight, it could come tomorrow, it could come before we leave this house of worship here this evening. But praise God, one day it's a coming. But until then, let's keep a working. Until then, let's keep focused on allowing him to do a work in us that he wants to do. Forsaking all and leaving it all behind. Counting it as nothing. Counting it but dung that we might win Christ. Amen. There's a better day coming. But until then, don't forget the calls. Don't forget your conversation. And don't forget that there is a change coming. It's going to get better. One day, it's going to get better. Stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed.